Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourself were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Father, today as we study about your created being, the angels, teach us what your word says about them so that we don't think too highly of them nor too lowly of them, but give them their proper place in our lives. And Father, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen. We live in a very real physical world. The things that we see have a physical being, but there are many things that we cannot see. Some are so small we can't see them. Some are so far away we can't see them. But it doesn't mean they're not real. The Bible tells us that the stars are without number. In Jesus Christ's day, the doctors of quantum physics back then, there wasn't such a thing, but they said there are 13,000 stars because that's all that can be seen with the naked eye. The Bible said the stars were without number. Today we know, with the telescopes we have, that there are billions of stars and billions of galaxies with billions of stars in each one. The Bible proved true. Just because we can't see something with our naked eye doesn't mean it's not real. It's important we understand that because all around us today are beings right in this very room with us that you can't see and neither can I. Whether you know it or not, the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting in this church somewhere. Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm where? I'm in the midst." So Jesus is here. I can't see him. I don't know if he's sitting by Barb or if he's sitting by Betty Lou. I don't know. But he's here. Angels are also here. I cannot see them. Now, there are times when God in his word, and we're going to look at that in a few minutes, does reveal them to us, but most of the time we don't know. There are also demons in this room. Yes, in church, demons are here. They are fallen angels, but they are among us, and they try to affect the way you think, because as you think in your mind, so are you in your heart, and they want to affect your heart for evil. And so the battle goes on. But we don't battle. The problem we have is we keep thinking when my wife says something I don't like, it's her. That's not the case. When I say something to my wife that she doesn't like, it's not me. It's the evil around us affecting us. We have beings that are trying to affect you for evil, and they are fallen angels. Our battle is not, the Bible says, with flesh and blood. Instead of getting angry with my wife or her getting angry with me, which does no good, because we're not in charge, we need to get angry with the evil spirits that are affecting our minds and our communication. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. We look at what's going on in our government today, and we say, how could people possibly be making the kind of decisions they are? And it's not just Democrats, it's Republicans too. Our national debt isn't because of those Democrats. When the Republicans were in charge, guess what? We spent as much as we ever did. Folks, it isn't that. It's demonic forces. I don't know if you understand this or not, but President Biden is not in charge of our country. God is, and under God are good angels and bad angels. They're trying to affect him. Same thing when President Trump was in office. There's good angels and bad angels trying to affect him. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. We don't want to get angry at President Trump or President Biden or our senators. They're being influenced, and it's a spiritual influence. Our battle is a spiritual battle with Satan himself and his demons. There are good angels to help us, but we have to understand where the battle is, or we're fighting the wrong battle. You could take President Trump out of the scene. Would all your troubles be over? Don't think about it a minute. If you took President Biden out, would all your troubles be over? No. Because they're following good and evil spirits, and that battle's going to go on until Christ comes back to this earth. The battle's not going to be over, in fact. Even when Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning for 1,000 years in Jerusalem, the battle's going to go on through that whole 1,000-year period until finally, when we reach eternity, Satan's going to be put into the lake of fire, and the demons are going to be in the lake of fire, and there won't be that spiritual influence anymore. Why do people make some of the stupid choices? Why do I make some of my stupid choices? Because I'm listening to demons. I'm doing it their way. They will influence you, and you have to know where the battle is. If we don't acknowledge that, we're fighting one another, and Satan's having a heyday, because we will not win that way. We need to be people of prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. That's where the battle's won or lost. It's not even at the election. I believe every Christian ought to vote. I believe you ought to vote for Christ's glory. I'm not telling you Republican or Democrat, because there are some Democrats that I could vote for. They're godly men and women trying to do right. Not very many, but there are some. I just want to tell you today, don't be influenced by spirits that are trying to control your heart and your mind. Listen to the good spirits, the angels of God that did not fall, that are trying to influence you to do the right thing, to make the right choice. In Hebrews 13:2, we're told something quite interesting. It says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Remember when 3 men came forward towards Abraham, and it was the Lord and 2 angels? Lord Jesus Christ pre-incarnate and 2 angels. Abraham didn't know when they first came who they were. He found out later who they were. Folks, we don't know. When we entertain a stranger, sometimes they are angels. I've heard so many reports of people telling me, I broke down on the highway, I didn't have any spare tire, I didn't have anything to fix it with, and a guy just showed up, changed my tire, wouldn't take any money, and just drove away. Could it have been an angel? I don't know. But I do know this. The Bible says sometimes we're going to see an angel in a physical body. Angels don't normally have a physical body. They are spirits. Just like our Lord does not have a physical body, until Jesus Christ came and was born of Mary. He would show up in a physical body in the Old Testament, but God does not have a physical body. He's spirit. These days, there's a lot of fascination about angels. Because of our popular culture, we like to show things about angels. Some of you have seen some of the TV shows on TV that talk about angels. And the Bible talks about angels too, a little differently than our pop culture does. But today, in our morning message, we're going to talk about what are angels. Tonight in our evening service, we're going to have what roles do angels take in spiritual warfare in our lives. And we're also going to talk about how does God use the angels in Scripture. So a couple of important messages. Many of our beliefs about angels today come from our television. When I was a little boy, up until the sixth grade, we had no television in our house. And I know that really dates me. We go back quite a ways. There was no television, no computers, no iPhones, none of that stuff, no tablets. But when I was a little boy, TV came in, and there were a lot of popular shows on TV. And anybody ever watched Touched by an Angel? Those of us that have watched it know that angels are actually British women that speak with a British accent. Well, maybe not, but that's what we think. Anybody see the movie Angels in the Outfield? Okay, we got a couple. We know from that movie that angels do care about baseball. I know your pastor says it doesn't matter to the Lord if your team wins or the other team wins. He's not into that so much. But we know that angels, man, oh man, they care about baseball and they care about our team. But we have a lot of favorite TV shows and favorite movies. One of the greatest movies, It's a Wonderful Life. Most everybody's probably seen that. It's shown a gazillion times every Christmas. What was the angel's name in that movie? Clarence, okay? Clarence was not the brightest bulb in the pack. Angels are not dull. Angels are very wise. They're created by God to minister, and so they're wise. They know what's going on. The other thing in What a Wonderful Life is every time a bell rings, what happens? An angel gets his wing. And who are the angels according to that movie? They're people like you and I that go to heaven and then we become angels. My friends, I hate to disappoint you, but you are never going to be an angel, okay? The Bible makes it very clear that God created the angels special, and we are not going to be an angel. So just watching those TV shows, many of us think we're experts on angels. We've seen what angels do. Well, no, we haven't. Some of us get Christmas cards, and on the Christmas card, you'll see a little baby, an angel with wings, sitting on a cloud, he's bald-headed, he's got a little harp, and he's naked, and he sits on the cloud. Folks, angels are not naked little babies playing a harp on a cloud. I hate to break your heart, but when we talk about angels, it's important to understand that they were created beings. Angels have not always existed. There's only one person that has always existed. And that's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the three-in-one God. He has always existed. Sometime during the 7 days of creation, actually 6 days and then 1 day of rest, but sometime during that 6 days of creation, God created the angels. They are created beings, created by God, and one of the angels that he made was the highest angel of them all, and his name was Lucifer. It talks about him in Isaiah 14, verse 12. How have you fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn? You've been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I'll raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I'll make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the realm of the dead. to the depths of the pit. Folks, Satan, that we all know today, at one time was the highest angel. He was in charge of everything under God. But one day he got the thought in his mind, I can be like God. I can be in charge of everything. And in his rebellion, the Bible says he led a third of God's angels in rebellion against God. And we say, how could that be? The angels are right in the presence of God. They see God. They know God. How could they possibly rebel? But the Bible says that they did. In Revelation 12, verse 3, then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its head. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter, and her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. We wonder, how in the world could Satan, the highest angel there was, convince a third of the angels to rebel against God? They've seen him every day. But the remarkable thing is, Satan is going to, at the end of a 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth, because the next thing in history that's going to happen is the Lord is going to come to the clouds. He's going to shout with the voice of the archangel. The trumpet call of God is going to sound. The dead are coming out of their graves. And if we happen to be alive at the time, we're going to be instantly changed and we're going to heaven. Then there's going to be 7 years of the worst time mankind has ever known, the tribulation. But after that, Jesus Christ himself is coming back to this earth. He's going to rule and reign in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. People are going to be able to see him, to acknowledge who he is. But at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan is going to be let out of a bottomless pit, the Bible says, and he's going to deceive the whole earth. And millions of people are going to follow Satan. And you wonder, how can that possibly be? They see Jesus. They're going to see, if it happens before, well, it'll be after my lifetime anyhow, either way, because I'm either going to die and be buried and go, or I'm going to be gone. But they're going to see me alive again. They're going to see you alive again, and yet Satan's still going to convince them to follow him. How can that be? Because angels have great power. They have great wisdom. They have great skill. We all know people that are very convincing. They can convince you of almost anything, even when it's not true. You watch the news tonight. Regardless of which channel you watch, now they've got a slant to the news, slanting it one way or the other, and it's hard to discern what is and what is not true anymore. We have lived in a nation of lies, and it's getting worse, not better. We're used to lies almost to the point where we believe the lie more than the truth. Our children are being taught in our schools that they may not even be a girl or a boy. We have a U.S. Supreme Court justice that says, I cannot define what a woman is. Folks, we live in a crazy world. And Satan is finding it easier and easier to deceive even those that are God's children. We believe all kinds of things that may not be true at all. We have to come down to understanding what an angel is and what power they have, because they have extreme power for good, and the fallen angels have extreme power for bad. You have to know how to protect yourself. So, first off, a definition of what an angel is. In a systematic theology, Wayne Grudem defines an angel this way. He says, angels are created spiritual beings with moral judgment and high intelligence, but without physical bodies. Now, they can take on a body, and from time to time, they do. That's why what we read there in Hebrews 13:2, Be sure to entertain strangers, because by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. But I'll guarantee you this, some people have entertained demons without knowing it too. So be careful who you entertain. Angels are created beings. They have not always existed. The definition was created some time ago. The prophet Isaiah said in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6, "You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you." The Apostle Paul tells us that God created all things visible and invisible. Just because your eyes can't see angels or demons doesn't mean they don't exist. God has created some things that are totally invisible to our human eyes. He says in Colossians 1:15, "The Son is the image of the invisible God," so our God is invisible too, "the firstborn over all creation, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him." So angels were created for God, by God. The angels exercise moral judgment. They are seen, in fact, and some of them sinned and fell because they had a choice. I can choose to obey God and stay under his control and do what he tells me to do, or I can choose to follow Satan, who is now in rebellion against God, because Satan has promised me certain powers that I don't have with God. Satan will promise you certain things that you can't get with God. He won't give it to you because it's going to hurt you. Satan knows what's going to hurt you, and he loves to give it to you because Satan, the Bible says, Jesus said, Satan was a murderer from the beginning. He wants you dead. A lot of young people think going out and getting drunk and driving is so much fun. Why does Satan tempt young people to do that? He wants them dead. Doing drugs is great fun. Everybody's doing it. Satan moves us in those directions because he is a murderer. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, "For if God did not spare angels when they sinned," so angels do sin, "but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment." Some of the angels, when they sinned, went to a place where they are chained. They can't get out. They don't affect people. But other angels that fell have perfect freedom to roam this earth trying to entice people, even Christians, to do things that ought not to be done. In Jude 6, it says, "And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their proper dwelling, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day." So not every fallen angel is free to roam this earth, but many are. We don't know how many. I do know from the Bible that there are billions of angels. Don't know exactly how many, but it's in the billions. And I want to encourage you, get to know the difference between the ones that are trying to lead you in the right way and those that are trying to get you to abandon God. Their high intelligence is seen throughout Scripture. The angels are God's servants, and they minister to our needs. And they are not like old Clarence. They don't get contact with God like they don't know what's next. They have constant contact with God, and they do know what's next. In Revelations 5:11, he says, "And I looked and heard the voices of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne, the living creatures, and the elders. In a loud voice, they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshiped. The reason I said there are billions of angels is because of that very verse. Verse 1 again said, "I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands." If you multiply 1,000 times 1,000, you've got 1,000,000. And 10,000 times 10,000. When you do that multiplication, you got 100,000,000. So there are millions and millions and millions and probably billions of angels. Since angels are spirits, we need to understand what the Lord has for us. They're spirits sent to minister to Christians. They're servants of God to help you and I. The fallen angels, of course, are following Satan, and they're ministering spirits to destroy you and I. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, 'You are my son, today I have become your father'? Or again, 'I'll be his father and he will be my son'? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, 'Let all God's angels worship him.' In speaking of the angels, he says, 'He makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire.' But about the Son, he says, 'Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy.' He also says, 'In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe, like a garment they will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end.' To which of the angels did God ever say, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet'? Are not angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? And so if you have received Christ as your Savior, you are going to inherit eternal salvation, and all the good angels are ministering spirits sent to help you in this lifetime. They are your servants and God's servants. I don't know if you know it or not, but one day you and I are going to judge the angels. Right now, the angels are over us. When Jesus Christ was created as a man, it says he was made a little lower than the angels, and we are too. But we are made in God's image, which means one day we will rule over the angels. And so we have that to look forward to. They cannot usually be seen by human eyes. But in the Bible, every once in a while, the Lord would open men's eyes so they could see the angels around them. In 2 Kings 6:15 is one of those times. It says, "When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elijah prayed, Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. Folks, there are more angels with us that mean good for us than there are evil ones. We have to have our spiritual eyes open. I cannot see them in this room, but they're here. They're here to minister to you. God has created them with the idea that when Fred Parks comes along in his lifetime and he needs help, there are going to be angels there to help. We don't struggle alone. God has given us assistance. God can open our eyes anytime he wants to. And I encourage you, pray that your spiritual eyes will be open, not so that you can see an angel, but so that you can believe they're there. You're not alone. Even in your darkest moments, you are never alone. The Lord Jesus said, Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So the Lord is right here with us, and so are the angels. We don't fight our battles alone. Another time that the Lord showed people angels was at the birth of our Lord Jesus, in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in clothes and laying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. They were afraid of one angel, but after their eyes were opened to the reality of who he was, suddenly the whole heavens are full of angels praising God. Folks, the Lord wants to open your eyes, your spiritual eyes, maybe not your physical eyes, but he wants you to believe with all your heart. You're not in this battle alone. You have helpers all around you who love you, who know you by name, who have great power and can intercede for you as well. In Matthew 28, verse 1, again, after the resurrection of the Lord, the angels appeared in a physical body. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, Do not be afraid, for I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. Our Lord wants you to know that you are not in this life alone. He's given you helpers. They're all around us every day, all day, ministering to your needs and to your heart. All we have to do is open our hearts to him. Tonight we're going to be looking at how does the Bible describe angels. I want to encourage you, make Sunday a day for the Lord. I know we're busy. I know we're all busy. But there's so much to learn. Every time I prepare another message, I learn more. And I want to encourage you, get hungry for God's Word. We need to be hungry. We need to grow because we need help.